you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to open those to Psalm 13. So the reading this morning was from Psalm 22, and we will be referencing that psalm. But Psalm 13 is where we're going to be for the majority of our morning together. I've asked us as a church family to memorize this psalm, and it's just six verses, and so I hope you have found time to do that. If not, we're going to be in this series for 6 weeks, and so you still have plenty of time. About this time last year, you began to see a lot of businesses and organizations come out with mission statements for the new year that emphasized having 2020 vision in the year 2020. And I was remembering that this week, and I thought, man, I don't care what kind of vision you had coming into this year. You did not see this one coming. Point is, 2020 has been a difficult year for many people. So as this year comes to an end, I wanted us to spend some time as a church learning about an important way to respond when you experience difficult circumstances. It's a historic and biblical form of prayer called lament. The book of Psalms is filled with lament, and when studying these Psalms, we discover a pattern that's common to all of them. There are four key parts to a lament, and I'm using Psalm 13 to help us see these key parts. Last week, we looked at the first two parts. The first one was to come to God with your pain. David, we see here, brings all of his pain to God, to Yahweh, to the great I Am. He doesn't hold back. He brings it all. He brings his baggage, his stuff, his pain to God. The second one we looked at last week is to complain to God in prayer. David asks his uncomfortable questions, shares his frustrations with God in prayer. Some of you mentioned to me this week how it was hard to think about the idea of complaining to God. And I get it, because we don't like people who complain, and so it's hard for us to think about the English word complain in a positive way. So I know this is sort of a politically charged word these days, but another really good word for biblical complaint is the word protest. You see, in this second part of lament, you're encouraged, you're given permission to humbly and prayerfully protest your situation to God. How long? Why, God? How can this be? And so come to God with your pain, complain to God in your prayer. And now this third one that we're going to look at today at length is cry out to God from your place. Cry out to God from your place. Now, what do I mean by that? In verses 3 and 4 here in Psalm 13, David cries out to God from his place. Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Now, here's what I mean by crying out to God from our place. Our personal pain and struggle lead each one of us to a certain place. The pain you have experienced in this life has taken you to a place. The struggle or pain that I personally have experienced has taken me to a place. And the place where our pain takes us is unique to each one of our individual situations. Your place is different from my place. We've all experienced very different and unique personal pain and struggle that have taken us to unique and different places. And each one of us is encouraged in lament to cry out to God from our specific place. In his book, I mentioned this book to you last week. It's called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. It's by author Mark Vergop. He details 9 different requests common to the Psalms of Lament. So if you go through the Psalms and you study the different Psalms of Lament, he details 9 different requests that you find common to these Psalms. Each cry, each petition, each request comes from a unique place. And if it's true that lament is the lost language of the church, then we need biblical language to go with these places that our pain and struggle take us to. We need biblical language to help us learn how to lament well. And so I want to take us through this morning these 9 requests in order to help you find the place where your pain and struggle has taken you. Then once you discover your place, you'll find the words to say. The Psalms of Lament will give you the request to bring to God from your specific place. So let's go through these. I encourage you to take notes as we walk through these 9 requests. Here's the first one. The first request is, "Arise, O Lord." We see this request over and over again in the Psalms of Lament. And this cry comes from a place of longing. It's a place of longing. It's a simple cry for God to act. We long for him to do something. We want to see him work. We long for God to change someone's heart. We long for God to change our circumstances. A similar request found in these Psalms is, "Awake, O Lord." These are requests of someone who finds themselves in a place of longing. We look around at our situation and we know that God has the power to change it. And so, have the circumstances of your life brought you to a place of longing? Then this is your cry. "Awake, O Lord. Arise, O Lord." The second request is, "Grant us help." This cry comes from a place of helplessness. When you find the pain and struggle in your life taking you to a place where you're utterly helpless, this is the cry. "Grant us help." That seems to make sense, right? But I think it's hard for us to ask for help. It's almost like we've been conditioned even to not ask for help. In fact, I'm going to suggest that part of our nature due to the fall is not wanting to ask for help. If you don't believe me, then try to help a toddler do something. Right? How do they typically respond? "I don't need your help. I can do it myself." Okay, good luck with that. But it's just kind of innate in our fallen nature to not want help. read an article in the New York Times this week, and the author suggested 6 main reasons why we do not ask others for help. And I thought, man, this is good. I wanted to share them with you. The first is you convince yourself that you have it easy compared to others. Second, fear of rejection. Third, fear of losing control. Fourth, you do not want to be a burden. Fifth, you do not want to be perceived as someone who's needy. And then sixth, belief that asking for help is a sign of weakness. I mean, those are good. But the author was writing about why we don't ask help from others. And I'm convinced that those same reasons also keep us from asking God for help. Yet the Psalms of Lament give us permission. They even encourage us to ask God for help. And do not convince yourself otherwise. In fact, one of the great and holy names for God in the Old Testament is Jehovah Ezer, which is translated as the Lord our helper. The pain and struggles of your life have brought you to a place of helplessness, then cry out to God for help. The third request is, let justice be done. This is a common cry of lament in the Psalms. This cry comes from a place of injustice, right? Now, this is a cry that we're hearing a lot of in our country today. You can't turn on a sporting event without hearing a request or a plea for justice to be done. All eyes were on Louisville, Kentucky this past Thursday. In the simple request for a complicated situation regarding the death of Breonna Taylor is for justice to be done. So the Psalms of Lament teach us that this has been a cry of God's people for centuries. When you find yourself in a place of injustice in the world, then it's entirely appropriate for you to ask God for justice to be done. We can go boldly before Him and petition Him to act for the sake of justice. Fourth request is remember your covenant. Remember your covenant. This cry comes from a place of loneliness. We're encouraged to pray this prayer when we find ourselves in a place of feeling alone and forgotten. We ask God to remember His faithfulness, not because He's forgotten it, but because we feel forgotten. And when the pain and struggles of this life bring us to a place where we feel utterly alone and unloved, then we ask God to act according to His promises and to remember His covenant of love for us. The fifth request is don't remember our sins. This cry comes from a place of brokenness. The last one is for God to remember. This one is for God to not remember. Sometimes our sin is the cause for the pain and struggle in our life. And so instead of asking God to remember His faithfulness to us, we're asking Him to not remember our unfaithfulness to Him. And we appeal to His grace and to His mercy, asking God to not treat us as our sins deserve. Psalm 51 comes to mind as a psalm of lament with this request. The sixth request is restore us. Restore us. This lament comes from a place of weariness. when we're just tired, weary, worn down. We need God to bring life and light back into our lives. We need restoration in our hearts, maybe in our marriage, in our family. You know, this is the request of David's lament in Psalm 13. He says, give light to my eyes. This is David's cry. He wants his eyes to light up again. It's a prayer of restoration, to restore life and light that comes from a place of weariness. The seventh request is, do not be silent. This lament comes from a place of doubt. You ever wonder if God still hears you pray? Perhaps you've prayed for years and you've come to the conclusion that it doesn't do any good anymore. This is the cry for those who find themselves at this place of doubt. If you have ever felt or experienced the silence of heaven, then ask God to not be silent. The eighth request is, teach me. Teach me. This lament comes from a place of awareness. Pain and suffering have a way of grabbing our attention. They can serve as a wake-up call in our lives. There are many lessons to be learned, and our difficulty can bring us to a place where we're ready to hear. God has our attention, and you don't want to miss out on the lessons to be learned. And so we cry out, teach me. And then the final request is, vindicate me. This cry comes from a place of hurt. You've been unfairly treated. Someone you trusted greatly has hurt you deeply. Perhaps they have falsely accused you of doing something you did not do. Your integrity has been put into question. And you just want the record to be set straight. Perhaps a close friend has dragged your name through the mud. This petition asks God to just clear up the mess. You've been hurt, and you don't want to hurt back. And so instead, you cry out to God. So, have you ever found yourself at one of those places? Longing, hopelessness, injustice, loneliness, brokenness, weariness, doubt, awareness, hurt. If you have, then lament teaches us to cry out to God from your place. The place that is specific to your pain and struggle. The Psalms of Lament help to give us the language to use. So we come to God with our pain. Complain to God in our prayer. Cry out to God from our place. We've brought him our pain. We've asked him our questions. We've boldly asked our requests. Yet far too many people get stuck in their complaints. Others never move beyond their requests. But there's a fourth part to biblical lament. And we must be encouraged to take lament all the way to its appropriate conclusion. The fourth part is to choose to trust God through your problem. Verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 13. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. The words but, or yet, or however are found in every lament. And it's a very important word. That word, but, here in Psalm 13, it marks the place in lament where pain and trust coexist. God, hear in my pain. Hear in my questions. Here is my request. But I'm going to choose to trust you, not because you take away my pain or answer my questions or respond to my request. I'm going to choose to trust you because of who you are. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Now, as far as we know, David's circumstances have not changed at all. They remain the same. Whatever difficulty he's struggling with is still there. But he chooses to trust. And according to these verses, he chooses to trust three very important truths about God. First, that God's love for him would never fail. This is that glorious word, hesed. Kevin's done a lot of teaching on the word hesed over the past couple of years. And that's a wonderful word. And that's what this is. It's this unfailing love. He puts his trust in God's hesed, that God's love for him would never fail. Second, that God is working all things for the purposes of salvation. And third, that God is always good. You see, this is not blind faith. This is not faith based on something out there. This is faith based upon truth. Truth about God. Instead of how we feel. David brings what he knows to bear upon what he feels. He brings what he knows to be true about God to bear upon the very real and hard and difficult and painful experiences of his life. He understood that trust could not be based on how he felt. He felt terrible. Circumstances haven't changed, but David chooses to trust in the truth about who God is, even when he does not feel like it. Michael Card is another author I mentioned to you last week. He gives this great illustration of using an eclipse. So if you're familiar with what happens at an eclipse, then you'll get this illustration. So just like an eclipse, Our trust does not remove our pain. But as they come together, they coexist, but not equally. Our pain moves into the shadow of our trust. Love that. Because it's real. We've been there. We have felt that. We know that. Come to God with your pain. Complain to God in your prayer. Cry out to God from your place. Choose to trust God through your problem. Another author who likes alliteration describes those four parts of lament this way. He says the first part is pain, the second part is protest, the third part is petition, and the fourth part is praise. This is the pattern of biblical lament. The reason I want you to memorize Psalm 13 is because I want that pattern to be upon your heart, to be written upon your heart. It's a pattern that we're going to emphasize again and again over these next 4 weeks as we study through the book of Lamentations. I titled my sermon this morning, Why Lament? Well, the pain of this life, suffering that we experience in this life, takes us to places as unique as our personal struggles. And your place is different from mine. And mine is different from yours. And wherever that place is that your pain and struggle has taken you, I want lament to give you the permission to cry out to God from your place. I want to encourage you to lament, to bring all of your pain, ask all of your questions, make all of your requests, and come to the conclusion to trust God, not based upon any of those things, but based upon his character. We can choose to trust him through the problem because Jesus Christ has clearly revealed to us who God is. Why lament? Ultimately, we lament because Jesus did. In the psalm that Gregory read the first 11 verses to earlier, Psalm 22, you've heard those words before. My God, why have you forsaken me? These are the words of Jesus on the cross. Did you know that Jesus laments on the cross? This pattern that we're learning of biblical lament, Jesus, while hanging on the cross, chose to lament. In the hour of his great trial, he brings his pain and his questions, requests to the Father. Jesus brings what he knows to be true about God, the Father, to bear upon what he feels. He brings what he knows to be true to bear upon the horrible realities of the cross. And he chooses to trust his Father through the problem. You know, on this side of the cross, we have a real advantage. Because we know that the lament of Psalm 22 leads to the resurrection. And so now the man of sorrows lives to come and meet you in your place of suffering, to cry out with you, to strengthen you, to trust God. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful, so thankful for lament. We're thankful, Father, for this biblical form of prayer that has been passed down through the ages, given to us as a guide, as a help, as a resource, Father. Lord, when we find the pain and suffering of this life taking us to our place where lament is needed. So I pray just keep teaching us, growing us, helping us in this. Father, we're thankful for Jesus Christ. We're thankful for his death, burial, and resurrection. We're thankful that he now lives to meet us in our place of suffering. We just praise you for the gospel. We praise you for your unfailing love. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.